Year is 305 AD, and a young noblewoman of 18 stands before the Roman Emperor Maxentius and 50 of his finest philosophers. She fearlessly defends her Christian faith with such compelling logic that many of her opponents convert on the spot and are immediately executed for it. This is the story of St. Catherine of Alexandria, whose intelligence and courage have echoed through the centuries. But did she really exist? Many modern scholars question whether Catherine was an actual historical figure or a creation of medieval devotion. Today, we're separating historical fact from pious fiction, examining the evidence behind Catherine's remarkable story. The enduring legacy of a contested saint. What if one of Christianity's most revered female saints never actually existed? This question has haunted historians for centuries as they've grappled with the extraordinary legacy of St. Catherine of Alexandria. Despite historical uncertainties surrounding her life, Catherine's influence has spread across continents and centuries, leaving an indelible mark on Christian tradition. From the snow-capped peaks of Mount Sinai rises St. Catherine's Monastery, one of Christianity's oldest continuously inhabited religious centers. Established under the 6th century, under the Emperor Justinian, this ancient fortress was originally dedicated to the Transfiguration before taking Catherine's name when monks reportedly discovered her uncorrupted body on a nearby peak, transported there by angels after her martyrdom. The historical tension that makes Catherine fascinating lies in the documentation. The earliest written accounts of her life appear approximately 500 years after her supposed execution around 305 AD during the Emperor Maxentius' reign. This significant gap has led many scholars to question her historical existence, even as her cultural importance grew tremendously. During the medieval period, Catherine achieved prominence among the 14 Holy Helpers, which were saints that were invoked for protection, particularly during the Black Death. Her patronage extended to philosophers, reflecting her legendary defeat of 50 pagan scholars in debate, students seeking academic success, wheelwrights, whose craft resonated with her torture on the breaking wheel, and unmarried women, all claimed special connection to this remarkable saint. These diverse expressions of faith, from sacred architecture to popular customs, demonstrated Catherine's multifaceted influence across societies. Pilgrims traversed dangerous routes to visit her monastery, where the library, second only to the Vatican's in early Christian manuscripts, houses illuminations depicting her life and miracles preserving her story throughout the centuries. Catherine's influence shaped everyday cultural practices throughout Christian Europe. In France, unmarried women aged 25 and older, Catherinettes, wore distinctive green and yellow bonnets on her feast day, praying for husbands. Quebec families prepared St. Catherine's taffy for gatherings where young women would discuss potential suitors. Medieval England celebrated Caterning, where lacemakers honored their patron with festive processions. Artists found endless inspiration in Catherine's dramatic life. Her image appears in countless medieval manuscripts with her iconic wheel and Raphael, captured her mystical marriage with ethereal grace, while Caravaggio emphasized her scholarly dignity through dramatic light and her shadow. Her wheel became recognizable, an attribute in stained glass window from Notre Dame to the countryside chapels. And St. Catherine's feast day once held such importance that parts of Europe recognized it as a holy day requiring mass attendance. In 1969, during liturgical reforms following the Second Vatican Council, her name was actually removed from the Universal Roman Calendar, highlighting historical uncertainties while she still remained venerated locally. That was actually put back on the calendars in, I want to say, 2002 as an optional memorial. So let's talk about the historical void and the skeptical challenge. The Vatican's removal of Catherine from the Universal Calendar wasn't merely administrative. It wasn't just housekeeping. It acknowledged a historical mystery that has troubled even the most devout scholars. When historians attempted to verify Catherine's existence through conventional methods, evidence, they encountered a troubling void where evidence should be. For a 4th century martyr to be considered historically documented, we would expect to find contemporary accounts that mention her name, archaeological evidence of early veneration, or references in the early church writings from that period. Yet with Catherine, we do face a perplexing 500-year silence. The historical record contains no trace of this extraordinary woman who allegedly engaged Rome's greatest minds in public intellectual confrontation. What does it mean for our faith when history offers only tantalizing fragments? This absence becomes especially conspicuous. In pilgrimage accounts, travelers who meticulously documented their journeys to Mount Sinai, the very place where Catherine's relics were allegedly transported by angels, failed to mention her or her remains, suggesting her veneration developed considerably later than her purported martyrdom. A compelling explanation emerges through a historical parallel. Hypatia of Alexandria, born around 350 AD, this non-Christian philosopher and mathematician became head of the Neoplatonic school in Alexandria, attracting a diverse amount of students, including both Christians and pagans. And in 415 AD, approximately a century after Catherine's supposed death, Hypatia was brutally murdered by a Christian mob during religious tensions. Much as Hypatia challenged the intellectual norms of her time, Catherine's narrative invites us to question where myth ends and where truth begins. The timing aligns with the emergence of Catherine's cult, a group of people following her, not a cult like what people often think of when they hear the word cult. It does mean something different in Catholic tradition. And both women share remarkable biographical elements: exceptional learning, philosophical prowess, and violent deaths in Alexandria. And this historical connection has led some scholars to propose that Catherine's story may represent a Christianized version of Hypatia, transforming a murdered pagan philosopher into a martyred Christian saint. Catherine's story evolved significantly over time, showing clear medieval embellishment. The iconic mystical marriage to Christ, prominent in artistic depictions, wasn't added until the 14th century, a full millennia after her supposed life. Part of a gradual accumulation of legendary elements following patterns seen in other saints' lives. Within Catholic scholarly tradition itself, significant doubts persist. Cardinal Baronius, the Vatican's chief historian during the Counter-Reformation, noted that numerous embellishments made discerning historical truth sometimes difficult. Similarly, Alban Butler, a compiler of the Lives of the Saints, described Catherine's acts as so much adulterated that little use can be made of them. One intriguing fragment remains. Eusebius, writing around 320 AD, mentioned a noble Christian woman from Alexandria who refused Emperor Maxentius's advances and was punished. Though unnamed, this account offers a potential kernel of the historical truth that later developed into Catherine's full narrative, a tantalizing possibility of historical basis, however slim. So let's find the historical Catherine. This tantalizing fragment from Eusebius provides a crucial window into how historical truths and hagiographical meaning intertwine. What appears to modern minds to be a binary choice between fact and fiction misses the early Christian community and the way that they preserve their martyr stories through means beyond written documentation. To understand Catherine's historical reality, we must first recognize the distinction between hagiographical and historical truth. Hagiographies served theological and devotional purposes, using saints' lives as vehicles for transmitting faith, values, and Christian identity to communities under persecution. Like a mosaic composed of many colored pieces that forms a coherent image, these accounts captured spiritual essences rather than exact chronology. The embellishments weren't seen as falsehoods, but as ways of illuminating deeper spiritual truths through narrative. The Eastern Orthodox tradition provides compelling evidence that Catherine's veneration wasn't a late medieval invention. While Western documentation may be lacking, Eastern Christians have honored St. Catherine since at least the 10th century, centuries before her cult gained prominence during the Crusades. This Eastern veneration connects directly to how marginalized voices were preserved through alternative channels of memory. Female saints, especially, suffered historical erasure, their stories maintained through oral traditions rather than official documentation quite often. These oral accounts allowed communities to preserve their martyrs' legacies despite the absence of contemporary written records. For persecuted minorities, written documentation posed dangers. Records that preserved a martyr's memory could identify and endanger their community. Archaeological and textual evidence from the Eastern Church reveals a timeline contradicting Western skeptics. Early veneration patterns in Egyptian Coptic traditions predate Western accounts, suggesting, again, that Catherine's story traveled through Eastern Christian networks long before reaching medieval Europe. And this transmission forms another piece in the mosaic of Catherine's historical presence. Perhaps most compelling is St. Joan of Arc's testimony, actually. During her heresy trial, Joan described with vivid certainty how she received guidance from Catherine of Alexandria. Even facing flames, Joan maintained this conviction, her trembling voice and unwavering gaze testifying to Catherine's tangible presence in her spiritual experience. This psychological reality across centuries points to something more substantial than mere literary invention. When Pope John Paul II restored Catherine to the Roman calendar in 2002, it acknowledged that saints exist at the intersection of history, faith, and cultural memory. This approach recognizes that while elements of Catherine's story may have been embellished over time, potentially the wheel of torture, the philosophical debates, the angelic interventions, these elaborations likely developed around a historical core, preserving the essence of a remarkable woman whose courage inspired centuries of devotion. So in conclusion, Catherine's influence extends far beyond historical debates. With her name gracing modern institutions worldwide, her diverse patronage demonstrates how saints transcend historical verification to become living symbols connecting us to deeper truths. In navigating Catherine's story, we find spiritual significance flourishing where documentation remains incomplete. Her enduring legacy invites us to approach tradition with both intellectual honesty and spiritual openness. And while we may never capture every detail of Catherine's life, her story encourages us to pursue wisdom and embrace the mystery inherent in our traditions, reminding us that in the gaps of history, we often discover the most profound truths about our shared spirituality. I'm Justin West. This is Authentic Christianity. Thank you for watching. If you appreciated this, like, subscribe, and share. God bless.